Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Friday afternoon, September the 25th. Every Friday, right at this time, we read and we announce our blog of the week. Jeff has his pick, I have mine. If you have a blog you'd like us to read it and consider it every week for blog of the week, just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click promote. You will find on the promote page the Issues Etc. widget. Put it on your blog, then email us. talkback@issuesetc.org. Let us know that you did, and maybe your blog will be picked as blog of the week. You get two chances every week, by the way. If you're, I think I'm reading over 100 now, and I don't know. I've never checked to see if Jeff's list and my list match up, whether we're actually reading the same blogs, although we do tend to walk across the same territory. Who did you pick?
My pick for blog post of the week is a blog called Confessional Gadfly by Pastor Eric Brown. It's a blog post titled, Why the Gospel is Hard to Preach. He writes, This Sunday I received what I thought to be a wonderful compliment. A parishioner said, Pastor, thank you for preaching the gospel. I've been worrying, and I needed to hear it. For accuracy's sake, the phrase, I'd been worrying, might have been slightly expanded, but that was the gist. To this I replied, I understand. I needed to hear it too. This ties into something that I end up thinking about quite often. One cannot preach the gospel unless one knows the burden of the law, and not law that you keep, but law that you violate, not law that you think is a nice curb or even a lovely trellis to grow on. I'm not talking first or third use, I'm talking full bore, hammer on your head, second use of the law, thou art the man sort of law. The gospel is the cure to sin. If you do not know your own sin as a pastor, you will never preach the gospel. You will preach advice. You will admonish people to better behavior. You will tell them that Jesus died for them, even though they are jerks who aren't as good as they ought to be, because they ought to be holy in doing blank, especially since Jesus died for them after all. You will, in other words, be a preacher of the law, a preacher of the acts of man, instead of one proclaiming the acts of the God-man, Christ Jesus, which he performed for us sinners. Instead, you will encourage, exhort, admonish folks to be better. You will show a fine example of right living yourself. You will lament the world and its sin, all of which is true, but none of which is the gospel. If you think you are a little sinner, you will only see a little Savior. If a pastor thinks he is but a little sinner, he will only preach a weakened semi-gospel. If you know what you, if you know that you are the chief of sinners, you will preach like Paul, for you will preach to your people the same words of life and salvation by which you live. My post for blog of the week, Confessional Gadfly by Pastor Eric Brown.
Oh, that's great. It brought to mind the best advice I ever got from one of my seminary professors, which was preach the sermon you need to hear. Pastors, preach the sermon you need to hear. Now, if you can preach a sermon that's all advice, then you're telling your people that all you need is advice. If you can preach a sermon where you're the moral example, then you're telling your people that you need to let them know that you're the moral example. And it's quite true. You know that if you leave Sunday morning, your pastor has given you just a little Jesus, that's all the more Jesus he thinks he needs to. It's true. Very well said. My pick this week comes from a blog called Father Hollywood. I think it's Pastor Larry Bean, somewhere in the South, New Orleans. I get the impression he lives somewhere in New Orleans. It's called Do We Worship Hundreds. In the latest Lutheran Witness, there's an article written about church planting. Part of the article consists of a pastor's bragging about how many people attend his congregation. The author of the article says this congregation, quote, now worships as many as 600 on Sunday. I believe that this is a case where grammar imitates life. This sort of Freudian slip, worship, in this sentence is acting as a transitive verb, which means it takes a direct object. We worship something or someone. We may worship money, Zeus, the Holy Trinity. We may worship the one true God or the ground that our children walk on, the Chicago Bears, Elvis Presley, Barack Obama, or Glenn Beck. We may worship our parishioners, or maybe more accurately, we may worship the number of parishioners. It's not only grammatically wrong to say that we worship the number of people in the pews, It is the very heart of the problem with the numbers-driven, seeker-sensitive, church-growth thinking. It is the idolatry of the ablaze movement, program, initiative, or whatever bureaucratic word of the day is. Unless we are pagans, we do not, never have, nor ever shall worship as many as 600. My blog pick of the week, Do We Worship Hundreds? Father Hollywood, Pastor Larry Bean.